Good morning, folks. Say good morning, Shan. No, really, say it. I want you to say good morning, Shan. Then when he listens to it, he'll hear it, all right? Good morning, Shan. Let's say it. One, two, three. Shan, they miss you already. And I haven't even started. We're glad you're on a vacation, though, Shan. I hope you're enjoying all those precious grandchildren. That's what I hope. We're going to be standing and singing a couple of songs. First one is going to be, "It Is Well With My Soul." If it's well with your soul, stand up and sing with us, would you please? When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roam, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my
soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul. Let's wait a minute. You all are doing a fantastic job, but this last verse, oh boy, this last verse is fantastic. Let's all sing it to the praise and to glory to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Sing it out, shall we? Let's try it. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trumps shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. Sing it out now. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh, that's good singing, isn't it? You know, I believe that's one of the songs we'll sing in heaven. I do. I believe when we get up there, we're going to sing that song in heaven, and boy, is it going to sound wonderful. It's well with my soul now because part of my family's here. Y'all late. That's going to cost you a couple of hugs for me, okay? By the way, Susan's not here this morning. She's not feeling well. If you would pray for her, I'd appreciate that. She's kind of fighting one of the giants that she has to fight sometimes. So just keep her in your prayers. And then we're going to sing Rock of Ages. Been a while since I've sung this one. This is a great, great song, Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rended side which flowed be a sin, the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's commands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, hopeless look to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
Why I draw this fleeting breath,
when my eyes have closed in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Visit with each other for about, 20, 30 seconds. We're happy to have everybody here this morning, and thank you for allowing me the privilege of speaking once again. I'm surprised that you let me do that. I'm no Shan Rutherford, that's for sure. There's only one of those, one of a kind with Shan, and he really loves the Lord, he and Karen, and they do such a great job ministering. And as I said, my wife is sick this morning, not feeling well. Hannah is not feeling well either, our daughter-in-law, Chris's wife, and the kid's mom that has fighting cancer. She's not well this morning, so she's not here. Marissa, we continue to pray for. Everybody on your prayer list, please, please, please pick that prayer list up every day and just go down the list and pray for them that God would bless them. I see I've got an hour and a half sermon and I've got... Well, I've got an hour and a half. Okay, good. Familiar story. Story of David and Goliath. Title of the message, Facing Our Giants. Facing Our Giants. I want to read a portion of the passage or the chapter that deals with David facing Goliath. And when I do this, I want you to, I'm going to let you remain seated today. Just stand up in your hearts, all right? Do it that way. And that way you won't be so much up and down. But it's from 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 41. David is confronting Goliath, and this is what is spoken. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog? Am I a dog that you would come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me and strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." Wow, what a passage of Scripture. We've learned it from a child all the way up, but man, it's fantastic. It's one of my favorite true stories in the Bible. The stories are true. I'm going to point that out. But David confronted this giant. Now, I had considered having Fred Schillingert stand up and then the smallest child that we have here go and stand beside him so you could see the difference between Goliath and David. But Fred's a friend of mine, and I didn't want him to think that I think of him as Goliath, because I don't, Fred, okay? I love you as a brother. So there you go. But we all have giants. We all have giants in our lives. The giants in our lives could be a hidden sin that we're dealing with, that we're trying to overcome. It could be the fear of something in your life that's going to happen. Or it could be a financial problem. It could be a multitude of different things that you're facing or that I might be facing in our lives. We all face some kind of giant in our lives. We need to understand that God doesn't always remove the hard times. Okay, I want to make that clear. God doesn't always remove the hard times from us, but he will always be with us. He will never forsake us. In the Word, it says, "I will be with you. I will never forsake you." And that's important to remember. David remembered that. Question for you. When you face one of your giants, and you may be facing a multitude of giants, I don't know, but if you're facing a giant right now, how or who fights the battle with you? Who fights with you when you're facing a giant? If you try to do it on your own, you're going to fail. I know. I failed many times trying to do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. What the giants do to me is just smash me to smithereens, but I can't do that. The giants in my life sometimes are too hard for me to handle alone, and that's what this passage of Scripture is all about. If you find the right kind of help, though, you can be victorious in overcoming these giants. See, God wants to fight for you, and God wants to fight with you these giants that are in your life. Just as God fought for David, he will be faithful to fight the giants in your life if you allow him to. That's the big thing, if we allow him to help us fight these giants. God wants you to live a victorious life, my friends. God wants you to enjoy the life that he's given you. Now, there are three keys, I believe, to facing our giants, to overcoming our giants, and receiving the victory that God wants us to have. The first key is this: the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. In verse 47, we read, "All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. That's so important for us to do. We can't win on our own. Try as hard as we will not beat the giants on our own. Too many times we try to do it ourselves, and we cannot, and we fail, and we get discouraged, and then we want to give up. That's not what God wants. The Bible tells us that we are in a battle, but it's not just a battle with flesh and blood. It's more than that. It's more than that, much more than that. Paul tells us when we're fighting, We need to put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, feet shod with the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts, temptations, and doubts that Satan throws our way, and last of all, to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and win the victory. That's what God wants us to do, my friends, and we need to be in the practice of doing that. You see, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." Our battle, our giants are not physical giants, they're spiritual giants. The devil is stronger than you. Now, you may not want to hear that, but it's true. He is more powerful than you. He's more powerful than me, and we can't give in to him. That's why we need the help that David sought, the help of Almighty God. A great habit to get into, and I try to do this every morning of my life. Sometimes I fail, sometimes I don't do it, but most of the time I'm successful in doing this, is I repeat the Lord's Prayer when I get up in the morning, and I go to do my devotional time. I repeat the Lord's Prayer, and then I, piece by piece, put on the armor of God. Because I know that during the course of that day, no matter what day it is, I'm going to be fighting some giants in my life. Folks, we need to get God's to have God's strength to defeat Satan and his demons. We must focus first and foremost on God. Too many times we look at the problem or the giant. Take the phone out of my pocket here. It's bothering me. Too many times we look at the giant when all we need to do is look at the giant slayer. Look at the one who will kill the giant that's bugging us, that's bothering us, that's harming us. We need to look at the giant slayer. We need to be looking toward God, not the problem, but the problem solver. When David did this, he won the battle. That's evident in our passage of Scripture today. When David did it, he focused on God, and God gave him the victory that was necessary. When David did not focus on God, he lost the battle. Two examples, Bathsheba. Bathsheba is one. Uriah, the Hittite, her husband, is the other. God forgave David, though, when he sought the forgiveness. And when we commit sin, we need to seek forgiveness of God and believe that he forgives us because he says he does. And then when he does forgive us, Satan's going to be right in our mind saying, "You dummy, you did it again, you did it again, you did it again, you did it again. You're not worthy of God. You're not going to find forgiveness in God." That's a lie straight out of the pit of hell. The devil wants us to believe it, but God says, "I have forgiven you. My son shed his blood so that you might have eternal life. I have forgiven you. You asked for it and you're living the way I want you to live. I've forgiven you." Don't listen to Satan. Don't listen to him. And then when you know that you've been forgiven, take that and bury it in the deepest sea. Remember, the Bible tells us that our sins have been forgiven as far as east is from west. One of the first times I preached here, I showed you a box and a little snap on it. And I said, "Put your problems, your troubles, your heartaches, whatever it is, in that box and snap it shut. You know you've been forgiven. Put it in the box and snap it shut and don't go looking for it again. You've been forgiven. Just tell Satan he's a liar." Now, how did David do this? Well, David recalled who gave him the victory. He remembered who gave him the victory. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 34 to 37 tells us that David told King Saul that with God's help, he was able to kill the bear and to kill the lion that was trying to kill David's sheep. He remembered what God did for him there. He remembered that God was his helper. He remembered that God was his deliverer. Just as David realized the battle was hopeless without God's help, so we need to realize that. We need to realize we can't do it on. Stand on your own two feet, Larry. "No, I can't. I need help. And God is the one who can help me." And he does help me if I will allow him to. Just as David realized that, we need to. Our battle is against Satan. It's not against people. It's against Satan. So much hate in the world. Who's the author of hate? Who brings hate into our lives? Is it not Satan? Sure it is. Satan's the one that brings hate into our lives. We need to get rid of him. Remember, that's a great word, isn't it? I think if Shan were preaching this, he'd say, everybody say remember. Say remember. Oh, say it better than that. There you go, remember. Remember. Remember what God has done for you in the past and how he's going to help you in the present and also help you in the future. The first key is the battle belongs to the Lord, not to you alone, but to the Lord. He's there. He's your helper. The second key is this. We've got to have faith. We've got to have faith. David, speaking to Goliath in verse 46, says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the world will know that there is a God in Israel. Folks, there's a God in Israel, and there's a God in America. There's a God in this world. We need to trust in him and follow him. See the victory before it happens. That's what David did. He saw the victory before it. He saw, remember, Goliath was the one who says, this day I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass and all the Israelite army to carcasses to the birds of the air. David turned that right around on him and says, no, that's not right. That's not right. Satan. That's not right, Goliath, because that's who was in Satan or in Goliath at the time. That's not right. I'm going to cut your head off, Goliath. Had somebody say to me one time, well, boy, that David was really a mean guy, wasn't he? No, he wasn't mean. He was just repeating in reverse what Goliath had said to him. I think sometimes we need to say out loud, Satan, I rebuke you. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can overcome the giant that is standing there and wanting to get hold of us. Just as David realized the battle was hopeless without God's help, we need to realize that and we need to have faith. We need to remember Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 in the New Living Testament says, faith is the confidence that we hope will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. We need to see the battle's end. What's the final battle? Is it not death? What is death to the Christian? Is it not victory? Amen. If you don't see it that way, you ought to, because we're done with this flesh and blood. My knees are hurting so bad right now, I can't hardly stand it. My tongue's dry as can be. I don't want to drink any more water in front of you. It'll make you thirsty. I'll be glad when I get rid of this robe of flesh. It's a prison. I am in prison in this old fat body. You can laugh, I do. I'm imprisoned in it, but one day I'm going to be released from that prison. Glory, hallelujah. I'm going to be with the Lord. The greatest victory for the Christian is when we pass from this life, we'll be with the Lord. Amen? We'll be with the Lord. Reject discouragement. That's the second thing we can do. We can remember past victories and we can reject discouragement. That's what David did. If you'll remember in the story of David and Goliath, David had an older brother by the name of Eliab. Eliab saw David come and he says, why aren't you back with the sheep? Go back, little boy. This is man's business here. You don't need to be here. You're just a small child. Go on back. His own brother discouraged David from doing what God wanted David to do. That's what he did. And then King Saul says, David, you're just but a youth. You can't do that. At least put my armor on. That'd be like putting my suit jacket on a little bitty two-year-old. David would have, I mean, he wouldn't even, no use even talking about that, is there? God is the author of victory. And we are to reject discouragement. Now, discouragement will come to us. It does each and every day. It seems like it. It comes to us. And just as David had a brother who discouraged him, and even his own king discouraged him, why didn't his king go out? King Saul was a head taller than everybody else. Why didn't he go out and fight? Because he was afraid to. Reject the discouragement that people give you. Sometimes it comes from friends. Sometimes it comes from family members. Sometimes it even comes from church family. Don't let it get you down when they tell you you can't do it. Don't let it get you down when they say you're not going to make it. You're not going to win. In the end, you lose. No, for the Christian, in the end, we always win. There are two types of people in this world as I see it. There are the balcony people and there are the basement people. The basement people are those negative people who just tell you over and over and over and over again, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Don't listen to that. Turn that can't around. How do you spell can't anyway? C-A-N apostrophe cross. That's it. C-A-N apostrophe T. But you look at it as C-A-N can, comma, apostrophe, and then the cross. You can do it because of the cross. Don't let anyone discourage you from doing what God has called you to do. And by the way, the basement people being the negative people who want to pull you down into the basement, don't let them do it. And don't you be one of those people. You be a balcony person. The balcony person is the guy that says, hey, you can do it. You can do it. I know you can. You're going to make it. Everything's going to be all right. God's going to be with you. I'm going to be standing with you. You're going to be able to make it. You can do this. That's the balcony person. You be a balcony person. Look around. See who needs a balcony person right now. See someone who needs a balcony person. Not a basement person, but a balcony person. Who is that person? What is their need? What do they need to have? Send them a card. Call them on the phone. Go visit them. Pray with them. Encourage them. Do everything you can to help that person overcome the giant in their life. Remember, true faith will always refuse to listen to negativism. David didn't worry over the negative discouragement, and don't you do it either. Verse 37, David says to Goliath, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear would deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Third key, we will see the victory. Hallelujah. We will see the victory. Verse 47, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. We see the victory with a positive confession, just like David did. He says, this is the way it's going to be. God's going to give you into our hands. Face your giant and say, my God's bigger than you, Mr. Giant. We're going to be able to overcome you. We see the victory through a positive confession. What would you have said to Goliath? Take a moment and think about that. What would you have said to Goliath? What would I have said to Goliath at that particular time? What are you saying to the giants in your life right now? Oh, I'll never be able to do it. I just can't take any more. I can't handle any more. This is way too crazy for me. I just can't do it. Don't listen to that. Don't answer that giant that way. You tell them that your God is bigger than they are. Your God is bigger than that giant in your life. Trust God. Trust God. When the negativism comes, tell them, no, I'm not listening to you. My God is bigger than anything. My God is the greatest of all, more powerful. There's an old hymn that's entitled, Little is much when God is in it. You know that one, Carol? That's a great hymn, isn't it? Little is much when God is in it. My friends, you don't need an army to overcome your giants. You just need God. We'll come along beside you because we're balcony people and we're going to help you and lift you up. We see the victory through a positive confession, and we see the victory through a positive vision. David sees the victory before it happened, and therefore he answered Goliath with a positive confession, verses 45 to 47. And even though Goliath towered over him, David remained resolute and positive. He was trusting God to give him the victory. And he was remembering that God gave him victories in the past, and God was still with him, that he would never leave him or forsake him. We've got to remember that this battle is really against the devil. It's against Satan. But he can't stop us or win over us. He's not powerful enough. He's not more powerful. He may be more powerful than us, but he's not more powerful than God. And as a matter of fact, when you get right down to it, I'm not so sure he's not more powerful than us when we're trusting God in the right way. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, and I believe it's verse 4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Amen. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us and enables us to overcome the giants in our life. The children's song that we love to sing and did says, "We are weak, but he is strong." Trust God. Allow God to work in your life. In order to win the battles against the giants in our lives, we must remain positive. We must remain resolute, never changing, but always trusting in God. It's not about us, folks. It's all about God. It's not about me. It's about God. It's not about you. It's about God. Let him deal with the giant the way he wants to deal with the giant, and trust him to do so. You know, in order to obtain God's best, we must give our best. We must give our best. I want to show a video. It's a really neat video. It's from a movie entitled Facing the Giants. I want you to pay close attention to this video. It's lengthy. It's about 5 minutes long, and I'm sorry for that. I've still got 10 minutes, though. So listen to this. Watch this video, and then I'll be right back, and we'll conclude.
You already written Friday night down as a loss, Brock?
Well, not if I know we could beat him.
Come here, Brock. You too, Jeremy.
What, am I in trouble now?
Not yet. I want to see you do the death crawl again, except I want to see your absolute best.
What, you want me to go to the 30?
I think you can go to the 50.
50? I can go to the 50 if nobody's on my back.
I think you can do it with Jeremy on your back. But even if you can, I want you to promise me you're going to do your best.
All right.
Your best.
Okay.
You going to give me your best?
I'm going to give you my best.
All right, one more thing. I want you to do it blindfolded.
Why?
Because I want you giving up at a certain point when you can go further. Get down. Jeremy, get on his back. Now get a good tight hold, Jeremy. All right. Let's go, Brock. Keep your knees off the ground, just your hands and feet. There you go. A little bit left. A little bit left.
I bet he got it.
There you go, baby.
There you go. Show me good effort. That way, Brock. You keep coming. There you go. It's a good start. A little bit left. A little bit left. There you go, Brock. Good strength. That's it, Brock. That's it.
I'm not at the 20 yet.
Forget the 20. You give me your best. You keep going. That's it. No, don't stop, Brock. You got more in you than that.
I ain't done. I'm just resting a second.
You gotta keep moving. Let's keep moving. Let's go. Don't quit till you got nothing left. There you go. Keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Your very best. Your very best. Your very best. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. Don't quit on me. Keep going. Keep going. Keep driving it. Keep your knees off the ground. That's it. Your very best. Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go. That's it. You keep driving. Keep your knees off the ground. Keep driving it. Don't quit till you got nothing left. Keep moving, Brock. That's it. That's it. That's it. Keep going. I want everything you got. Come on. Keep going.
It hurts.
Don't quit on me. Your very best. Keep driving. Keep driving. There you go. There you go.
He's heavy.
I know he's heavy.
I'm by our strength.
Then you negotiate with your body to find more strength. But don't you give up on me, Brock. You keep going. You hear me? You keep going. You're doing good. You keep going. Do not quit on me. You keep going.
It hurts.
I know it hurts. You keep going. You keep going. It's all hard from here. 30 more steps. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Keep going.
Burn.
And let it burn.
My arms are burning.
It's all hard. You keep going, Brock. Come on. Come on. Keep going. You will be your best. Your best. Brock, you are the most influential player on this team. If you walk around defeated, so will they. Oh, tell me you can't give me more than what I've been seeing. You just carried a 140-pound man across this whole field on your arms. Brock, I need you. God's gifted you with the ability of leadership. Don't waste it.
Coach?
Can I count on you?
Yes.
Coach?
What is it, Jeremy?
I wear 160.
To obtain God's best, we must give our best every day of our lives, 24/7. It doesn't matter what giant is confronting you right now. God says, give me your best, and I will do the rest. Give me your best, and I will do the. I'll do the rest. Brothers and sisters, don't quit. Don't quit short of the goal. Don't quit short of seeing God face to face and being in heaven forever. Don't give up, and don't give in to the giant that is trying to defeat you, because your God is more capable of handling all of your giants at one time than you could ever think or imagine. God is able to defeat our giants. Don't give up. Paul writes in the Ephesian letter, chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, and he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Don't give up short of the goal. Don't let Satan put a giant in your life that stops you, because God is greater than any giant. I don't know what your giant is you're facing now. You don't know what mine is. But I know this. We need to come alongside of each other and encourage each other, just as the coach, Brock, was encouraging Brock. We need each other, but most of all, we need God's power in us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Let's pray. Father, as we approach the throne of grace, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for Jesus, who is, who was, and will always be the giant slayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this moment in our life when we can realize that you are our strength, you are our fortress, you are our refuge, you are our high tower. And if we but place our lives in your hands, you would never leave us, forsake us, or neglect us. And we thank you for that. In the powerful, loving name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If there's a decision that you need to make today, please make it. We're going to be standing and singing our hymn of decision. We invite you to come. Let us know what it is you need, and we'll help you. Would you come as we stand and as we sing? Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thank you for being with us today. Come back next week, bring somebody with you, and you'll hear a good preacher then. But you know what? God is the giant slayer. Not David, not you, not me, but God. Trust him always, always trust God, and he'll bless you. Let's see. Fred Schoengert, I picked on you a little bit today, so I'm going to ask you to say a prayer for us and benediction, if you would, please, sir. Amen.
I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul.